Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The gospel is in... the first reading is in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, as he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with his scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life. Psalm 22. Let us pray psalm responsively. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. Who shall eat and be satisfied, let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts be forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. For to him belongs to the Lord, who indeed all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now. Second reading is from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we have one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this. Word of God, word of life.
The Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
That first reading, or the second reading from the first letter of John, Bev got tired of readings and quit right before we got finished. And I want to continue that. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with judgment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. You know, that reading from John's letter talks about love, love, love. In those 15 verses, I counted 25 words. That's why I wanted to finish the reading, because I wanted to be able to say there were 25 times we heard that word love in there. You know, most times rules and guidelines are written because someone has failed to obey that rule and guideline. I live in a homeowners association. And the board of directors loves to make new rules and new guidelines. And every time anybody does something, they go, oh, we need a rule. So now we have a rule that you can't park in your driveway more than 25 minutes without getting permission from the board. Because someone obviously had parked in their driveway longer than that, and so now we have a new rule. Well, John must have been looking at his community that he was writing this letter to, and there must have been something going on in that community that he is telling them, you guys got to love each other. You've got to love each other. You've got to love each other. Something was going on in that community that he felt the need to really encourage them to love one another. They must have been having trouble loving each other. If they had that much trouble loving each other, imagine the trouble that they must have had with outsiders. I mean, with insiders, they were having trouble. With outsiders, they must have had a lot of trouble. Our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles tells the story of Philip. Philip was an outsider, but he had no trouble with outsiders. He was not one of the 12 apostles. This is Philip, who was the deacon. He had been chosen, appointed to do the charity work and to tend to the needs of the orphans and the widows. He, in a sense, he ran the taco program in Jerusalem. This is the time that there was persecution. Stephen had just been martyred in the Christian community of Jerusalem, and now Philip ends up in Samaria, and he's doing a wonderful ministry there. He's doing a great job of preaching about Jesus, even doing miracles and bringing people, lots of people, to the waters of baptism. And isn't it just like God? Here's Philip doing a fine job in Samaria and getting settled in with his work. And then God sends an angel. Get up and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. I don't know about you, but I haven't heard a lot of angels telling me to go someplace immediately. But I'm kind of sure that if I did hear an angel say, get up and go, I'd have a few questions. I'd have probably a lot of questions. I can't quite relate to Philip listening to an angel and being immediate in that kind of action. But I can relate, and I think you probably can too, to that line that says that he was on a wilderness road. We know what it's like to find ourselves in new places, uncharted waters, to feel insecure or unsure of the direction that we should go. We know what it's like to be on a wilderness road of living with cancer or in chronic pain or in loneliness after the death of a spouse. We know the wilderness road of a new job or no job or retirement. We know the wilderness road of making decisions and choices about our future or about our children or our parents. Joshua knows the wilderness road about seminary and call committees and waiting and waiting. We know about wilderness roads. Now, Philip finds himself on this wilderness road, and he meets another traveler, another outsider. This Ethiopian is really an outsider. He's a person of color. He's a foreigner. His gender identification would have kept him excluded from many places. He worked for the foreign government in the treasury. He was wealthy. We know that because he was in a chariot and he was reading. He had a scroll. He was reading the prophet Isaiah on his way home from a pilgrimage to the holy city, Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting that this Ethiopian eunuch would have gone to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage because he would not have been allowed in the temple because he was a Gentile. He was a person of color. He was a eunuch. All of those things would have excluded him from even going into the temple. And yet, this man traveled to Jerusalem for a pilgrimage to worship there. And now he finds himself on this wilderness road. So it is a wilderness road in so many senses for this man. And Philip, following that urging of the angel, the urging of the Spirit, runs up alongside the chariot and starts a conversation. Vicar Joshua said it right to the children this morning. That must have been a very slow chariot. Or Philip was a great sprinter. So he runs up alongside the chariot as it's traveling down the road, and he starts the conversation. Do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian man didn't understand any better than the apostles understood the resurrection on Easter morning, any better than Paul understood what happened to him on that Damascus road, any better than you or I understand what it means to love one another or to be fruitful branches on the vine of Christ. We all need a guide. The early church really understood this. The baptism rite, with its inclusion of sponsors and community, stresses that truth that one can't be a Christian by oneself. One doesn't come to faith alone. One doesn't walk on that wilderness walk without a guide. But we don't like guides. So most of us shrug off that whole concept of guides. It's like we're stuck in the terrible twos when it comes to faith. I want to do it alone. I'll do it my way. I don't want any guides. I can do it by myself. When I was just a baby in church work, I was encouraged to have a spiritual director. And it's been very helpful for me, very important for me, as I've walked through my journey of faith along the way, that I have always had a spiritual guide. And I think it's very important that if I intend to really walk alongside of you in your spiritual journey, I need to keep myself on the right path with the spiritual guide. Faith really is a group effort, a team sport. You can't be a Christian all by yourself. Being a Christian is about relationships, our relationship to God and our relationship to God's relationship with us and our relationship with one another. Philip and the Ethiopian man started their relationship in the scriptures. He opened his mouth and told the story of Jesus. The passage that Philip heard the Ethiopian man reading was a passage from Isaiah that said that the man in Isaiah, he opened not his mouth. That refers to Jesus. And then Philip opens his mouth and tells the story of Jesus. And this is a sense like Jesus kept his mouth closed in order so that Philip could tell the story. So Philip tells this story about Jesus. And what he says is that you have to be connected to Jesus in order to live, like branches are connected to a vine in order to live. In order to walk through our wilderness roads, we need a guide. We need to hear that story about Jesus. This Ethiopian, the one who was excluded on so many counts, knows what it feels like to want to be included. He knows that baptism is the way to become connected, and he wants to do something on that wilderness road that will connect him, that will bring him into that relationship, bring him into that circle of relationship with Jesus and the Christian community. Look, there's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Philip didn't answer that question. He didn't say, well, there's a lot of things that prevent you from being baptized. First of all, we don't baptize people who aren't Jewish. This is very early in the story of the church. Secondly, we don't baptize people of color, foreigners, eunuchs, people who haven't gone through confirmation class for 2.5 years. There's just a lot of reasons, sir, that we would not baptize you. No, Philip says, into the water, nothing excludes them. As we walk along our wilderness roads, we ask ourselves the same question. Look, there's water. I am baptized. What's preventing me from living out my baptism? What's keeping us from living our life connected to the vine? What's preventing us from producing much fruit? What's keeping us from abiding in Jesus Christ? What's keeping us from loving our brothers and sisters? The good news is that the answer to those questions is nothing. Nothing is preventing us. Jesus has removed all the barriers that would keep us from Him, that would keep us from loving one another, that would keep us from living out our faith, that would keep us from walking wet in the truth of our baptismal life. Jesus Himself walks with us on our wilderness road. He has gifted us with faith communities and with spiritual guides of many sorts. He's invited us to leave our outsider status and become insiders, to become connected to Him, to produce much fruit, to love because He has first loved us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for those who walk alongside us on our wilderness roads. Center us in you when we feel lost and without a guide. Connect us when we feel cut off, outside, excluded. Baptize us with your Spirit that we may be refreshed and encouraged. Prune away anything that prevents us from living as your precious baptized children. Let us love one another. Amen.